Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
It's the Off Menu podcast.
Yes, it is.
It's me, Ed Gamble.
And who's that? James Acaster.
This is James Acaster, yes. Exciting episode this week.
So exciting. Phil Wang is here. Everyone's favourite Wang.
He is my favourite Wang, actually.
By a country mile.
Yeah, by a whole country mile. How long is a country mile?
I don't know, actually. Because surely that originates somewhere, and I don't want to be...
You don't want to take.
Don't get all the QI elves ganging up on us when we get it wrong.
Do you think the QI elves are listening to this?
Yeah, they come down our chimney at night and poke us with sticks because we're getting facts wrong.
They do that.
Yes.
They don't even have sticks. They can poke us with their wit.
Yeah. Yes, they have got their wit.
It's a good episode with Phil. We've already recorded it.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
But was it?
Different type of cuisine we explore.
Oh, yes. Very insightful. He took us to a lot of different places.
He did. He took us all over the globe with his words. So we're going to have a chat with Phil. Any food updates in your life, James?
I ate a flapjack a minute ago. I've still got it in my teeth.
Right. Okay. Good. Okay. Yep. That's the sort of food update we needed.
Yeah.
We'll give you the secret ingredient now.
Oh yeah. Cardamom.
I hate cardamom.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does a lot flavour-wise, but I hate when they leave the pod in.
Oh, that cardamom pod can sling its hook. Flavour-wise, I'm kind of okay, but maybe we should just say the pod. Cardamom pod.
Cardamom pod, yeah. Okay, the secret ingredient is cardamom pod.
So if Phil says cardamom, then we'll say, okay, was that just the flavour, or just are you keeping the pods in?
Keeping the pod in.
And if he says keep the pod in, he can get out the restaurant.
I don't want any type of pod in my food.
No. Yeah, I'm struggling to think of a pod that I'd like.
I tell you what, if I found a pod in my food, I would cast it out. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, very good. That was... I didn't even see that coming.
So, Phil, this is our dream restaurant.
Yeah.
Welcome.
It's beautiful.
Just before James gets in there and lets you know this, James is a waiter. He plays a waiter in this.
Okay.
Yes.
Strange for the waiter to be sitting down with us.
Yeah. Well, it's not strange. It happens now and again.
You can't see my legs. I'm floating.
Does this actually happen? I've heard people talk about waiters who sit down with
you. Oh, yeah. We had a waiter sit down with us in New York, didn't we, Ed?
Yeah.
He sat down with us, pulled up a chair, then told us about how he really doesn't like fireworks, but then told us loads of stories about times he's loved fireworks.
Yeah.
Every single story he had involved him going to see some fireworks, while also just saying how much he hates fireworks, but he loved every firework display he saw.
And at the end of it, it was like a 15-minute monologue. And I can't remember who said it, but just went, you really are doing nothing to avoid fireworks for someone who hates fireworks.
Mm. He sounds like he's as conflicted about fireworks as he is conflicted about whether or not he works at the restaurant or is visiting it.
Oh. I felt a bit sorry for him because we were the only people in the restaurant.
Mm.
But he was wearing really early, though.
A big fleece. He was wearing a big fleece with like a woodland scene on it.
We literally got there when it opened. As soon as it opened, we were there. So I didn't feel that sorry for him.
Yeah.
I think he would have got busy as the day went on. And he was clearly looking to party. he wanted to know where we were going later that night, what we were up to.
Didn't he recommend us a strip club as well?
He recommended a strip club
for us.
We
hadn't asked for recommendations for a strip club.
We did not want to go to the strip club. But he did recommend a good place to play pool. And we played pool. And me and Ed beat Lloyd Langford and John Robbins, who were proper pool players and are really good. Me and Ed could not play. And we fluked to win.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a doubles.
Yeah.
Doubles, yeah.
They were so angry.
Oh,
so
that's angry. That must have been brilliant to see those guys angry.
Oh, it was so good. Seeing John Robbins angry. Because he didn't win something.
He doesn't get angry, does he?
Oh.
this was, imagine beyond normal.
So furious that we beat him.
I got offered a strip club in New York as well. Mm. But this was
a gig?
No, this is when I was there with the university group in 2012. This is a while back. We're in Times Square just walking around. Mm. And this guy...
Because you know the places to go when you go to New York? Straight to Times Square.
We just follow lights. And this guy came up to us and he was a Nigerian guy. Mm. And he was like, you want tickets to the comedy?
Is that what he sounded like?
No, I'm saving my attempt at the accent for what he says later.
Okay.
I wonder why you teed up his race. That's coming in later on.
And we wanted to go to a comedy club. And so we were like, yeah, we'll get tickets to the comedy club. And then he was like, great. And then afterwards, you can go to the strip club. Carl come pick you up and take you to a strip club. And we were like, no, that's okay. We don't want to. And he said, no, you want to go to the strip club. We said, we really don't. And he, in his final play, he singled out Jason.
Yeah, great.
Who is the gay man in the gay one of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Grabbed him on the shoulder, looked him straight in the eye and said, you, my friend, you look like a pussy eater.
Phenomenal.
That is funny. Imagine if Jason was the guest, that's what he'd probably have as his starter.
Yeah. First course, pussy.
Oh dear.
Do you eat out a lot, Phil?
That was not
a deliberate pun.
No.
I was genuinely trying to segue into the main body of the podcast.
I think that would be my main extravagant cost is eating out. Like, I don't spend much on like clothes, or I don't buy that many expensive things, but food and wine. I'm getting into wine in a bad way now.
Buying wine.
And I went to one of your New York places, James, you recommended.
Yes.
After you guys went there, where I went to the Dutch.
Yes.
Which was great.
Good, right?
I love the Dutch, yes.
Great. That wasn't where the guy sat down with you?
No, that was a different place. No, the Dutch would never sit down with you. At the Dutch,
they knew
we went there, and apparently in the very, very, very far corner, there was a leak. Not that we would ever know about it. And someone went in at one point and had to mop it up really far away from us. At the end of our meal, when we'd had dessert and everything, the waiter said to us, we'd like the dessert to be on the house. We'd like to apologise for the hullabaloo earlier. And we were like, we didn't notice there was a hullabaloo. Oh, there was a hullabaloo in the corner. the desserts are on us. Great
kind of place.
He did say hullabaloo twice, as if that is the technical name for a leak in a restaurant.
Maybe thought that was the English word for it. Like, you guys wouldn't understand mess.
Yeah. I have to speak English to these guys.
So, Phil, we're in the dream restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Fireworks everywhere.
No, James is also a genie. We should have brought that up.
All right.
Just appeared out of my lamp. Hello, sir. Can I get you some water? What would you like? Tap, sparkling, or still?
Sparkling.
Explain.
I know. I used to be bang against sparkling. It tastes salty for some reason.
Yeah.
But I used to be still boy through and through.
Mm.
But there's just an inescapable sense of occasion with sparkling.
Yeah.
Right? You can't get away from it.
Yeah. You feel like you're at a real posh place when you're drinking
it's fireworks and water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it is.
And so...
it's champagne everyone can enjoy.
Yeah. Champagne for kids.
Yeah.
It's guy champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'd go sparkling.
Does it not fill you up? If I have sparkling, it feels like... I'm just, the gas is, you know, building
unnecessary
up.
Unnecessary gas.
Yeah, it's unnecessary gas and your stomach's not as empty as it was to start with.
Well, I need that kind of slowing down. I eat like a dog. So I need to be slowed down by this gas that I can slowly release throughout the...
That's what people recommend for dogs as well.
Some sparkling water in the doggy bowl, in the doggy dish.
Big question now, James.
Oh, yeah, let me ask you this, Phil. Pop it arms or bread, Phil? Pop it arms or bread?
Okay. I don't like bread. I don't like it.
Okay. You don't like bread?
I'm not interested. I'm not...
Holy hell, Philip Wang.
This is a white privilege, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's boring. I find bread very boring.
No.
It's a waste of...
Commit to the white privilege argument.
White privilege is actually my favourite type of bread.
Yeah.
I think Wolverton's doing one. This presumption that everyone loves bread and you got to love bread is cultural imperialism.
Right. That sounds about right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't really mean that. I just find bread boring and it's a waste of calories. There are more enjoyable ways to take your starch than bread.
Some examples?
Noodles, rice. There might be a theme here.
Oh, yeah. You do love noodles.
Yeah.
You regularly, when you go abroad, you do reviews of noodle bars.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. You review it out of five?
Five bowls.
Five bowls of noodles.
So a Wang Five Bowler is a place that's got a perfect score.
Yeah.
And each comedy festival, there's about two or three that'll get a five bowler.
Oh, two or three with a five bowler everywhere?
Yeah. On average, two or three. I mean, I've done this for two festivals.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have that large a sample to gather my statistics.
Still quite impressive that you're finding like five bowlers everywhere.
I sometimes feel like, you know, in that episode of The Simpsons when Homer becomes a food reviewer? He just loves everything, he becomes a beast, and lifts the entire restaurant industry in Springfield.
Yeah,
I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I will actually actively go out my way to have something bad.
Right.
So that, but then I feel like this is what reviewers have to do anyway, right? Is it?
I don't know. They get jaded. Also, their palate, I guess, over time gets more and more honed and finely tuned.
And they search for
the more...
So they're
going to be able to tell...
subtle flavors.
Yeah. Because
what the everyman wants is something they can really taste, you know, like a laksa or something big.
Something bold, big and bold, yeah.
Big and bold.
Big and bold.
But then if you get jaded by that, you want to find things where you have to be skilled enough to taste the taste.
Yeah,
right?
Like bread.
Like bread. Shit. You know what? I have to give you that.
God. But you would like...
Is there nothing... these days without being called privileged. just want a lovely sandwich and now I won't be able to bite into one without thinking, oh, I'm sorry, everyone.
I will take the papadum over the bread. But not if it's not an Indian dinner coming up. That'd be weird. I guess
you know the meal coming up, not us.
Are we picking these choices in isolation or as part of...
This is part of the thing.
So this is one... Meal. Okay. In that case, I'll have to go back. I'll have to... Yeah, let's go poppies.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what's coming up. You can have poppadoms if it's not an Indian meal coming up.
Okay.
I wish that was the case in more restaurants. That's why this is the perfect restaurant. Mm-hmm. You get the choice no matter what.
Fascinating. Okay, I'll take poppadoms. And the chutneys I want. I want the chopped weird onion salad.
Yeah.
I want mango chutney.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And...
sticking his tongue out just for the listener.
Trying to taste the air for what he wants.
Yeah, literally licking the air.
Chocolate con churro sauce.
What?
Chocolate con churro sauce. You know when you have chocolate con churros?
No.
Chocolate con churros.
What are you on about?
Churros.
Churros.
As in the donuts?
Yeah.
The donut
you want chocolate sauce?
You want chocolate. Chocolate sauce that you would normally get with churros
with your
poppadoms.
To finish off.
Okay.
Because you have... I guess you got the sweet from the mango already.
I'll let him do that.
Yeah, no, you can do what you want. It's just,
if I'm completely honest, I'd forgotten what the other poppadom dips were.
Brinjal pickle, like an aubergine pickle.
Mint yogurt.
The yogurt you want.
Mint yogurt. Yeah, okay. So we'll go there. So the salad, the mint yogurt, and mango chutney. That's okay. That's my dips.
All right. No chocolate sauce.
In retrospect, I was.
You were panicking. Though,
I panicked.
Weren't you? Yeah, yeah.
You panicked, and you forgot what dish you were ordering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Now, can I take your starter, please?
My starter is...
Sorry, Phil. I just want everyone to know, listening at home, that James does mime having a notepad and pen every time he does.
Does
that.
A genie need a notepad? I feel like one of his powers is probably memory. Or is it for our sakes?
For your sake. Yeah, so you feel it's more normal. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I may as well just be an invisible entity who's just a voice in your head and making everything happen, and that would be scary for you.
It would be really scary.
Yeah, so I have to... Okay. The physical form is just for humans.
But the pen and notepad really ground the whole thing.
Yeah, it makes you feel okay.
Okay.
Sorry, Phil, please, go
My
ahead.
Starter is something... My favourite restaurant in the world, I think, is a place in Georgetown in Penang in Malaysia, and it's called Kebaya. And what the starter they have there is these fat salmon roes, salmon roe eggs, in placed on a leaf. I think it's a betel leaf. I can never remember the name of this leaf. I think it's illegal here,
right?
Because it is
wheat marijuana.
It is slightly narcotic. So you roll up the salmon eggs and you eat the whole thing, and you are high for the rest of the dinner and the whole thing.
Well, so not, Phil's starter, not like, Phil's starter is drugs.
You're not
Jerry Garcia's our guest today.
Come on, you're not off your nut. You're just a bit. You're just a floating a little.
Yeah,
everything is good. Everything is fun. Everything is fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a little bit hard. When you say everything is fine, so what would you compare it to? What other highs would you compare it to for
like
the listener
who taking
have not had this leaf?
Some coke.
Taking like, a little bit of coke.
Like a bit. Like having like it's like you've just gone on a good workout, but you're not sweaty and you're not tired.
You've got some endorphins going around in your brain. Some good exercise.
Yeah.
And it is just the big fat roe eggs. How big are these roe eggs?
Yeah.
Like small marbles.
Small little marbles
in
a leaf.
One per leaf?
No, a whole bunch.
A whole bunch.
A clutch?
A clutch of roe leaf.
Not roe eggs, right? Salmon roe, like you said. I keep saying roe eggs.
But
saying eggs, isn't it?
Yeah, eggs.
What's a single roe then? What would you call that? A row, also a row.
Right.
I guess it's a fish and fish.
Eggy boy.
Yeah, so fish and fish.
Row and row.
Yeah.
This is how much we value fish. We don't even think of them as individuals or their eggs.
I think this is how humble fish are. But it's literally the only ingredients are just the row. And the leaf, and that's it. And the main thing is that you're getting high as a kite.
I think there was another sort of bolstering ingredient that kind of held everything together. Maybe a paste or something. But to be honest, I was so off my fucking face.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the flavour?
So the eggs, do they...
That's salty.
Are they popping?
They're popping up.
I love it, mate.
Yeah.
I absolutely love
it. I mean, it's grotesque
when
you think about it, but it's so nice.
I didn't know you liked popping eggs.
Do you love popping eggs? I like salmon roe a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like sushi. I have there's a couple of places that do really nice salmon roe gunkin, and then you can get them all individually and pop them on the roof of your mouth.
What's gunkin?
It means battleship in Japanese, I believe. It's just a sort of type of sushi. It's just like a little bed, and then they put everything on top.
And a bit of rice.
Yeah, a bed of rice,
and then some
in the shape of a little battleship, and then they pile things on top.
In the shape of a battleship.
Yeah,
and then some roe on the top,
and then some roe on the top. I like that.
It all pops in your mouth.
Pops in your
mouth.
You
like that?
Yeah.
You've never said that to me before. didn't know you liked the gun.
Is that part of the appeal, the popping?
Yeah. It's a sensory roller coaster. If roller coasters had a bit when losses
row
popped
is
in
a
mouth.
Roller coaster.
I mean, yes, thank you.
There you go.
That's what I intended from the beginning.
I'd say roller coasters are pretty sensory anyway.
I think that sounds like a really interesting choice, Phil.
Thank you.
And is that the only place you've ever had it?
Yes.
It's our first drug-based choice.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. Which I like. I like the fact
but
that we never know.
All food is mood altering, right? All food is technically a drug.
Yeah, but now you're talking like you're in a 70s rock band and being asked about doing drugs and going, well, everything's a drug, man.
Yeah. Life's a drug.
Yeah, I'm not letting you get away with
We're
that.
We're all on the same journey.
We all feel stuff when we do stuff, so it's all drugs.
Some of us choose different methods of transport.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my method is A big leaf.
Little leaves.
With popping rose on it.
And have you eaten this with your family?
No.
So you have not got high with the Wangs?
No, they would never get high.
It would feel wrong to do that.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable getting drunk around my family the way that British people seem completely fine with. Drugs, like, no? But it's like a normal thing.
Oh, I've done it, sure. But I don't think I ever feel comfortable once I've done it. When I'm drunk around my parents, I'm like, oh, do without this, actually. I think Ed would be fine getting drunk around his parents.
No, I do get, it's like Christmas and stuff. You end up getting drunk around your family. But I don't, I never point at any point think, oh, yeah, it's going to have a proper laugh now. Nor get pissed and have a fun time.
Yeah.
And it's really more like I get pissed and then I'll drop a C-bomb and my mum will go, Edward!
Yeah,
that's all that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Or someone will reveal some awful family secret that was meant to be kept tight.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's happened.
There's some people that have like parents who probably get stoned with them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had loads of friends who had that.
No, thank you.
No.
No, thanks. Although it was fun, I had these friends who grew up, their father smoked a lot of weed. Mm. And as a result, they think weed is really lame. so they won't touch it. They think that's lame dad shit to be smoking weed all the time.
That's what all the little wangs are going to think about your leaves with fish eggs on.
Yeah.
They're going to be such squares.
Yeah.
Right? So dad's having another leaf in the corner. Freaking eat his packet of leaves.
Listening to EDM.
Doesn't even have the row on him anymore.
He's mainlining them.
And the main course, sir?
The main course is a Malaysian dish called Wotan Ho, which a Cantonese dish called Wotan Ho.
Yeah.
It looks vile. It's Ho Fun noodles, like the flat rice noodles.
Yeah.
They're stir fried and then they're covered in a gloopy, savory egg based
gravy
sauce. Yeah.
I had this because you recommended this to me.
Yeah. And on the English menu, the English translation can only ever call it egg gravy, which sounds disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds, egg should never be gravy.
Yeah.
But it is genuinely delicious and it's the seafood all over it and it warms the cockles of my belly. It's delicious and filling. It's great. It's my favourite.
I remember, where was it I had it? I went to a place that you'd recommended.
Probably CNR Cafe
in
Chinatown.
I went there, texted you saying, what dish should I get? You said that was your favourite, but it's would understand gross. If I would not like that. You were like, the gravy might put you off, man. It's like, and I was like, no, I'm going to do it. And it was really delicious.
Great.
I definitely had to, the consistency of it was something else.
Yeah, so it's like an acquired taste.
Like loose scrambled egg.
No.
Imagine the loosest scrambled egg you ever had.
Right.
Three times as loose. It's
raw egg.
It's basically like a raw egg, but it somehow isn't raw, but it has like the consistency of a raw egg.
Curdled a bit and...
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of putting me off talking about it, but...
Somehow cooked a raw egg. And kept it the same consistency somehow. It binds to slightly more than a raw egg would.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's pretty... I don't really know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it. I've not asked.
What are your seafood ingredients in there?
I love fish balls and fish cakes.
Yes.
Asian style fish balls and fish cakes and stuff. I'm starting to go off prawns. I had some prawns earlier. I usually love them in there.
Go off them.
I don't know, there's something... I'm starting to find them a bit creepy.
Go on.
Like the surely shelled prawns.
Mm.
And even if they're cooked perfectly right, it creeps me out that
you're taking the shells off, right?
These were already shelled.
Right, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm always taking the shells off.
Yeah.
I'll eat the legs. Do you eat the legs?
I don't mind. I'll eat a leg. I'll suck a head. I'll suck a head. You ever sucked a head?
Oh, no, my dad does that. That's some hard shit.
I'll suck a head.
It's like a head. Nice.
Not me.
What are the brains like?
It's just all fish.
Ed-like brains. You've ordered brains before.
Have I?
Yeah, we went to...
I've had head cheese before.
Head cheese.
What is that?
head cheese is like all the goop from like a cow's head.
Come on, Ed.
Why would you do that?
Pressed head? Into like a... Because I think if
you're
going to...
hand out at these heavy metal concerts you go to. You turn up and they're handing out goop from cow heads and everyone eats them.
I just think if you're going to eat meat,
yeah,
if you're going to eat animal products, you've got to go all in. I think it's so insulting. You know when they're like, oh, and like, I'm a celebrity or stuff like that. They're like, oh, you're going to eat an eye now.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, oh, the eye, that's horrible. Poor animal.
What do you mean, poor animal?
It's dead, right? Yes. And then you're going, ugh, I'll eat its leg, but I won't eat its eye. Just get stuck in.
Well, because then the animal's not going to be like, you could have just chopped my leg off and let me carry on living.
That wasn't where I was going with it, but yeah, fine.
I think it's more that it's sort of an insult to injury, isn't it? You've eaten me, and then will you also have the temerity to call one of my bits gross?
Yeah, you can't just go, oh, that bit's gross, but I'll eat that bit.
And so the head cheese, is it made into like a paste or a cake? Or
into like a sort of, when I had it, it was like pressed into a sort of almost pate, like a thick pate, like a terrine.
Mm, and you dip things in there.
Head cheese terrine. You put it on bread. Sorry, Phil.
That's disgusting.
Literally tastes like cheese.
No, that's just the name for it.
Where did they giving it a more gross name than they need to
Where was this?
This was in America.
In like a Texas or something?
No, it was in LA actually.
Oh!
Yeah.
So it's like a cool...
It was a cool thing, place. Yeah. It was,
sounds like you had it in the house in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They gave it to you there.
I'm trying to remember the name of the place, but I can't now. So,
what did it taste like?
It's just meaty. Mm. It's quite strong, meaty, this, like gamey. Stuff.
It's like it still tastes like meat, doesn't it?
Still tastes the same.
I'll have we eat a lot of guts and stuff, you know, in Malaysian Chinese, you know. Mm. You'll have like porridge with just pig intestines cut up and thrown in. I went to Myanmar and you just sit around this cauldron of like a black gloopy broth with sticks sticking in it, and along the sticks is just bits of gut. You pull it out and you just teeth off the bits of gut and...
Wow.
Lovely!
And then make that sound.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I really like... Zhuchap is what it's called. It's just like pig entrails.
Well, my problem with things normally is not where they come from or what they are. It's consistency. If like the guts were really chewy, that will put me off.
Yeah, well, the test sounds like the outside is rubbery and the inside is like mush.
Yeah, I don't know if I could deal with that.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
Rubbery and mush. Not the two.
So the sensation is like you're biting into a bit of intestine that's got a bit of poo in it.
Oh, great. Absolutely.
and yet prawns creep you out, do they?
Yeah, it's a bit wriggly.
Like the thought of prawns. You're going off of them.
I think what freaks me out about prawn is that they're all meat. Like, what are the odds that they're all meat? Like, you pull off... Like every other animal,
what
like
are
this,
the odds?
What are the odds? You know, like this animal was made into a perfectly eatable.
But then there's you marveling at evolution. That's not like
a C-shaped piece of meat. Like, what are the odds? You know, because everything else has bones in it and intestines they have to take out. Like, this we can't have this kind of that. And around that is the meat because this was a living thing that had other had a more poor purpose in life than being eaten. Mm. But with the prawn, it's like, I come ready-made to eat.
Poop, yes. No, it's got the poop line.
Yeah.
I knew this would come up, the poop line. But
I bet you eat the poop line,
even,
don't you?
Yeah, I bet you love that.
I bet so you put it on a stick.
And like, say, just the poop line, please.
Or wrap that around a stick, put it in a cauldron.
No, that would be ridiculous. But even the poop line is placed so conveniently to be just peeled off in one go. It's just along the back, it's opened up. You don't have to dig in. It just freaks me out. I feel like there's more going on.
So you're basically like this paranoid guy who's like, this is too good to be true. This deal, if a deal is too good to be true, it probably is.
What's the catch? That's why I say every time I'm served prawns at a restaurant, I say, hey, what's the catch?
What's the catch of the day?
That's what they think I'm saying, and they say the grouper. Yeah. And then I'm like, no, that's...
They're always just asking, oh, some tiger prawns are the catch.
And then
today.
I order more.
What is the catch? It's the tiger prawns, sir.
Yeah, so as you might understand, I've never got a straight answer.
Yeah, very difficult. I had some lovely prawns the other day. Ed saw me eating them. Absolutely delicious. There were some hors d'oeuvres. We went to a do, and they brought around these hors d'oeuvres, and there was these prawns, and they were covered in breadcrumbs and chili, and I couldn't stop eating them, could I, Ed?
No, he had the whole plate, and then he went to the toilet, and the waitress came over, and she took away the last two. Yeah, and I was about to stop, and then I thought it was probably for the best.
I was upset when I came back.
So these are little balls, like breaded, prawns. Like
Because prawns, they still had the tails sticking out.
Yeah.
But they were like breadcrumbed, but like, you know, it's quite soft breadcrumbs.
It wasn't crispy. Breadcrumbs straight out the sea. So I'm beginning to suspect something as well.
Oh, yeah, something is up there.
See what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. It's not right. They breadcrumbed themselves, those prawns. And then got themselves caught deliberately. They got a plan. I get it. So you think like they're like the Joker in Batman when he gets caught and it's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
And you're like, it's part of his plan, isn't it?
Yeah. So prawns are getting into your tummy.
They put a bomb in there.
Yeah, they're going to put a bomb in there and break out all the other foods.
Yeah,
that's a good Pixar movie, I think.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah.
Get rid of foods for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And your side dish, please, sir, with that.
If to go with this meal, just a bit of clear Chinese broth, which is really hard to find outside of Malaysia. Everywhere you go there, if you have a dry meal, you'll come with a free little bowl of hot broth, hot salty broth to wash it down. You can't get it here. Even I go to Malaysian places, I say, can you just give me a small bottle of broth? They spit in my eye.
Why do they say no?
I don't know.
Surely that's easy, right?
It's easy. It doesn't cost them anything. I'll pay like a pound. I don't care. Yeah. They won't do it. It's very strange. So that would be my side.
And what flavor? So it's just soft.
It's just like a stock. It's like vegetable made out of like vegetables or old bones and stuff. And
yeah.
It's just a clear broth.
Nice clear broth. I want to get to the bottom of why Malaysian restaurants in the UK aren't doing this. This is the easiest thing, and it's pretty common to have it with main dishes in Malaysia.
Yeah.
So absolutely. They must, it's not, they're not doing it because people wouldn't buy it here, because they would, right?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're not used to it, you might find it strange.
But they're doing egg gravy.
Yeah, if they're selling egg gravy.
I think what it is there isn't really like a starter culture in Malaysia. You have side dishes instead. And I think here when restaurants here try to acclimatize to the British way of doing things but serving Malaysian food, they follow the starter main course kind of model. And so that doesn't leave any room then to have the soup with the dish. And they, But I think is that people here actually would find it strange to have soup next to their dish, because you wouldn't have soup next to your
maybe, main course, but then, you know.
If it was a clear broth, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
You go to a sushi place and they offer you some miso soup with your, your mains.
It's an Asian thing. I think they come around to it.
Yeah.
But your
main, how brothy is that?
Well, it's not. You know, you've had it.
I can't really remember it.
It's still thick enough that it's not technically a soup.
Right, yeah.
I mean, with the wodan ho, I could not have a soup. Something dry like a cha mian or a fried rice. You want that soup to break it all up and wash it down.
Sure.
But still, it's nice. It's a nice little break from the nudes to a swig of soup.
And what order? How many bites of the main to a swig of broth?
I'd say
that is the most James Acaster question he's asked on this podcast so far.
Three, I reckon, on average, three chopsticks.
Yeah,
of food to a slurp soup.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's relative. That's all relative, though, isn't it? I guess
relative to how big your chopsticks are.
How big your chopsticks are. How good you are with chopsticks.
Do you own your own pair of chopsticks that you take?
Three chopsticks for me would be one noodle.
It's short.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have my own chopsticks. I'm bringing them around. You know how people who are really into pool have their own?
Yeah.
Bring a queue around. So I have a little bag.
Do you put it together like a pool queue?
I have to screw them together.
Yeah. You chalk the end.
Yeah. For the extra grip.
Yeah. Good.
And then to eat, I place my eyes on a table level. Yeah. I get down real close.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at chopsticks, I'd need one of those spider things for mine.
Like a claw, like in an arcade machine.
No, like when you're playing pool or snooker. Oh
yes,
the bumpers like a bowling alley.
If I see an attractive lady struggling with her chopsticks, I'll go around behind her and help her. I'll put my hand.
No, you got
in an 80s film.
Oh, great riff!
Lovely riff, classic riff that. Good podcasting, guys.
We can congratulate ourselves on riffs. That's fine, isn't it?
I think that's fine.
Oh, I tell you what, though. Tell you what, I'm
compliments to the chef.
I tell you what, I've been really worried about since you got on here, Phil. And I think everyone's been feeling it, been worried about it. I'm worried you might roast Ed again and destroy Ed on the roast. Because Phil roasted Ed on comedy, roasted Ed lost!
Yeah!
Oh, suck it! I lost bad.
I'm surprised you haven't ordered a roast dinner, Phil. And Ed's the main! Ed's the main!
Phil roasted me real hard.
Ed's got a new tattoo for every roast that I made of him.
Yeah.
To represent every roast. So he'll never forget.
Every time he got roasted.
These all represent sad times in my life when Phil roasted me.
A lot of my roasts were about his skeleton.
Yeah, there was a lot of skull-based roasts.
Ed's mama so fat.
I don't think you said that, did you, Phil?
No.
There's a line, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a line.
I mean, that's the roast I was roasting.
You have to maintain some level of respect. No, that's a bit close to the bone.
I was just roasted Ed.
You've since been roasted by Daniel Sloss.
Yeah, he won.
Lost.
That one.
He won.
So. Here I am back down here with
so
you.
So that means if Sloss beat you and you beat Ed, that means Sloss also beat Ed. And Ed has been roasted twice. Ed's number so fast.
Right, why, James? Why did you keep doing this?
Ed's been roasted so hard. Twice.
At least me and Phil went on the roast. You're too much of a pussy.
Oh, outside a roast.
There is a rule on the roast. No genies. It would be unfair to everyone else.
You're only allowed to give three roasts.
Yeah.
And the format requires five. So.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to ask for infinite roasts.
Yeah.
Can you remember some of your choice cuts when you roasted it? Can you remember some of the things that you said when you roasted it?
I can.
I bet you think of them every day, Ed.
I'll never forget them. Every time I fall asleep, I remember.
You cry like a little baby boy. Yeah. Also, did someone else... You were in the latest series of Roast Battle as well, weren't you? You were in another one.
Christmas special.
You were in like a day tournament.
I did a tournament.
You were in a Royal Rumble.
I roasted Bobby Mayer first.
Yes.
One.
Whoa! Then didn't see that coming. Ed normally loses.
Then I was in the final against Susie Ruffle.
Yes.
And I won.
What?
That's two roasts to Phil's one to James's zero.
Oh, he turned it around. He's the best roast in the room.
I got a trophy.
Did you? Didn't you give us a trophy?
Yeah, it was a trophy because it was a Christmas tournament. I wasn't allowed to keep the trophy because apparently it cost £2,000 to make.
You're joking.
It was a skull.
What? You can that's imagine right how up much your,
I you would love to keep that. That would go with all your decor in your house.
Exactly. I love skulls.
Oh, so Ed is actually good at roasts.
Yeah, I'm the best at roasts.
Ed's mum is so thin.
Imagine if the better you got at roasting people, your mother lost weight. With every win, she dropped
your
a few.
Your mum just looks.
Your mum is so thin.
Well done, Ed. Still, Phil beat you. So if Phil beat you and you were the king of the roasts, that means Phil is actually king of the roasts.
Phil's king of the roasts and I'm just
a little prince. So Sloss is actually king of the roasts.
Oh, it's confusing.
No, I don't think I'm even in the roast royal family anymore.
Oh, no.
Phil. Yeah. You're going to have a drink with all of this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because sparkling water does not a meal make.
Mm-mm.
So what are you having with all of that, mate?
Well, I'm gradually becoming a wine wanker. It's a lot of fun to be a
wanker.
Just a wanker, yeah.
A wanker.
But it doesn't really... It's hard to pair wine with Asian food.
Riesling.
Really?
Yes.
No, with, he, was like asking, Chinese? He was asking what your reasoning was.
That's what I heard first.
Riesling, I would recommend.
With Chinese food?
Yes.
It's a bit sweet.
It's the only thing that'll punch through spice.
Whoa. But you want to match the spice with the Shiraz.
But the spice, I think if you're eating super spicy food, it'll knock any flavour out of your mouth.
I feel like I'm watching the roast battle again.
Imagine if this was the roast battle.
Back and forth.
Look, I'd recommend a Riesling, but...
A Riesling. I'll give that a go.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess something light. I think like a rosé or an orange wine might be nice with the Chinese food.
Because really had much orange wine.
Huh? Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
We tried some in New York, actually, James, and we didn't like it.
No, we didn't like it, but like... But then we were drinking it with John Robbins and he's grumpy.
Yeah.
So I think he had a bit of it and then criticised it and then we were all like, well, that's ruined. what is the difference? Orange wine, why is it orange? What's that about?
I think it's made in the same way as rosé, but the skins are left to steep for less long.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay.
And there might be different grapes being used, probably.
So you are proper getting into it, aren't you? I can tell.
I just find it very interesting. Because it's the kind of thing you can get into straight away, but there's always more stuff to find out about it. And
Have you seen the film Somme?
Yes, I love it.
It's a great film. Ben, apologies if I talked about this already. But this is why I don't think I'll ever become a wine wanker, because of this comment that a guy training to be a sommelier smelt a white wine and said it smelt like a freshly opened can of tennis balls. Just the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, that's fun. So like coming up with all these weird descriptions. Like we were in Malta. I was in Malta with my family and we had, they make their own wine there in Malta, but they only make enough for Maltese to drink. So it's actually quite hard to find outside of Malta. And all the wine there tastes of burnt rubber.
So lovely.
You swig around, you go, oh yes, very good. It smells like my tires are burning. And it's the only situation in which you can describe an unpleasant smell in a positive way. I don't know.
And was that a positive?
Does it actually
Did
taste
you
nice?
Like it?
You actually like it, the wine?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't have it very much.
Okay.
So I guess no.
Sure.
But it was interesting.
I like burnt flavours, you know, stuff. But I haven't had a burnt wine, but I'd like, you know, I like burnt caramel.
Burnt toast?
Actually, I do.
Do you like a bit of burnt toast? Mm. Carcinogenic, apparently.
Yes.
Oh, that's what you like?
Yeah, I like carcinogenic.
James lives on the edge.
Yeah. Of a car park.
burnt bridges? Do you like a burnt bridge?
Yeah, I like to burn bridges.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's
burnt rubber? Oh, that's what I said.
Back to the wine.
Sorry, yeah. I was thinking
so,
more like a.
So you think like maybe a Shiraz or something as well? Did you say?
Not with Chinese, but Shiraz is too heavy. I think Shiraz is like an Indian meal supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With Chinese, I've never really had a wine. Maybe like.
What is?
I think a Riesling is probably a right call because it's light, but it's still
my work.
I think Riesling. I'll try Riesling this time.
Thanks. So, while I will get you that, fair enough. But what is the best wine you've ever had? If a meal is irrelevant.
Best wine. In recent memory, it was actually at the Dutch.
Yes.
I'm getting into American wines now, which are fantastic. And especially Oregon, which make great Pinot Noirs and great Syrahs.
Yeah.
And there was a Pinot Noir in the Dutch from a producer called Big Table Farm.
Yes.
And I've tried to get it here, but I can't get it.
So many of those wines that we had in New York, I've tried to get here and just can't. And we had some incredible
Remember
wines.
That wine I bought from the shop?
James just went into a shop and went, I'm going to go and buy a nice bottle of wine and came out with some absolute hefty beast.
It was the most I've ever spent on a drink.
What was it?
It was, I can't even remember what was it called, Ed?
I think I've got a photo of it.
It was a red wine and it was so expensive. Because basically, it was New Year's and... you know, it was all together in New York. I thought, I'm just going to buy a really special bottle of wine and we can all sit down and have a lovely, lovely old drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'm just going to... And also, because I don't know anything about wine, I just went for not the most expensive one in the shop, but... Just way more than, yeah, way more than I would normally pay.
Yeah.
So I could come out and be like, I did it, guys, we got it. But like, yeah, what was it? Because the name is on the tip of my tongue. But it was like, Ed described it as drinking liquid jam.
So it was very sweet.
That is quite sweet. And I mean, it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It was very rich.
Was it the Stag's Leap district, Cabernet Sauvignon? Yeah.
Stag's Leap.
I was about to say something like Cab Sauv. I should have done it and would have sounded so good. I would have sounded so good.
Amazing.
Was it California?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a Californian Cab Sauv, which was really good. And yeah, it's very fruity, very sweet, and like you say, yeah, quite jammy. Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
This podcast is going to make us sound like such cunts.
No!
But I'm leaning into it.
Make us sound like absolute legends.
I'm leaning into it.
That's great. And the one we had at the Dutch was another Cab Sauv. Robert Sinsky, Napa Valley, again.
Ed, where are you finding out all this information?
I take pictures of all the wines I like and put them on an app.
Oh, great.
Is that
Vivino?
That is cool.
Delectable. It's called Delectable. And you take a picture of the label and then it'll search.
Vivino does this as well.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Very good. Okay. It's very helpful, very useful.
Phil, I didn't know you liked wine. We should have a wine night.
Do you like wine a lot?
Yeah, but I don't know much about it, but I love the taste of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like the taste of it. And also, I'm willing to spend too much on something I don't
I'm going
know.
To go to Vagabond Wines just around the corner after this. See, grab a bottle, see what they got.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of... You want to come?
I've got a meeting, but...
Oh.
Yeah, I think I'll...
It'll only take a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. I sent back my first ever bottle of wine in New York.
Oh,
at a restaurant. Yeah.
He sent a bottle back.
It was...
I don't think I've ever met anyone who sent a bottle back, apart from my dad, and I assume that was just him being difficult.
I think I was being difficult, because it was an expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Although, because it was at a restaurant, it might have retailed for like $30, and they pumped it up to $150 or whatever. And it was a Syrah, it was a Hermitage, and I tasted it, and I thought, it'll probably mellow out, and I thought, yeah, that's fine.
So you didn't do it at that stage?
Yeah,
you didn't do it at the taste stage?
Yeah, I know, which I feel bad about.
You let your glass walk away?
But with each sip, it didn't get better. It just kept being really sour.
Yeah,
around the mouth.
Yeah,
where I guess it would, and eventually I said to the others, "Are you enjoying this?" And they said, "I don't love it." So I thought, "I'm gonna do it. I'm going to say this is corked."
At this point, how are you feeling physically when you decided you were gonna do it?
I couldn't feel my fingers.
Yeah,
I was terrified because it's quite a fancy restaurant.
Yeah,
and so the waitress came back and I said, sorry, I think this might be corked. My heart is like, dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, yeah.
And she goes, oh, really? Okay, I'll just go get our sommelier.
Oh,
no, the big boy, the headmaster of wines.
Slides down his fireman's pole into the restaurant.
That was scary. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. You bring that piece of shit.
Yeah.
And so she goes off with the bottle. And I see in the corner, she gives it to him. And he takes
so you can see all this playing out.
I can
out.
See all this. He can't see me. God.
He's twiddling his mustache, the sommelier.
He gives the bottle a whiff and he makes a sort of wince face, which now the wince, I can't tell if it's, ooh, that is bad, or, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Because that's the same wince.
It's the same wince. Face.
Classically, that is exactly the same wince.
Yeah. It is a disgust. It's the same emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then he comes around and I see, and just behind our table, he gets himself a glass and he pours a little bit.
On his break.
Yeah.
And he takes a sip, and he comes over and he leans to me, and I'm just losing my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, this isn't corked. And now I'm in fight or flight.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, sure.
Either I go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'll give you a kiss on the head. I'm really, please don't kill me. Or double down. And so I double down.
Wow.
And I go, really? It tastes very... acrid. I thought I'll pick a different.
Oh, yes.
I'll pick a different word for sour.
Yes, mate. Take that, sommelier. Everyone knows sour.
Beat the dictionary, you sommelier twat.
And he goes, "That's quite. It's got a brown. That's a Syrah taste." And then he said, "It's actually rather lovely," which I think was
not
his,
as good a word.
That
not
his,
as good a word.
That was
no.
his hullabaloo.
Yeah, yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His hullabaloo.
And I said, "Oh, I don't know." And he said, "Well, if I get you another bottle, it'll probably taste the same." So I said, we'll get something else then. And so I got a bottle of Chateau Neuf de Pape, because you can't go wrong, really. And he said, okay, lovely, great. And he got this Chateau Neuf de Pape, and he tried it, and he was like, that okay? And it was actually still a bit sour, but I said, yeah, no, that'll be fine.
Were you like also eating like sour Skittles?
I was brushing my teeth. I was brushing my teeth at the time. I don't know if that changes anything.
Pack of Tangfastics on the go. This is very sour, all these wines you're giving us. You're eating Tangfastics, sir. With the wine. It's all very sour, and I'd like to send it back. Give me the sommelier, please. You have a mouthful of sour dinosaurs, sir.
I really... We saw you take a mouthful of toxic waste on the way in.
You and your friends were doing the Warhead Challenge. I don't think we can give... We take your word on this wine.
The food tastes a little sour now I think of it. Phil, that really gave me a rush, that story.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
That's the most dramatic story we've had on the podcast.
I'm not sure it's the sort of everyman vibe you can take onto the, take onto the stage, but...
I've given up on that, man. I can't even... There's no point.
Who's to say who the everyman even is anymore, you know?
Because in the sommelier world, every man is a sommelier.
Sure.
And now every man hates you.
Yeah, in the sommelier world. Yeah. Any sommeliers listening to this are going to be like, oh.
That guy.
But every sub wino that I've taught, but what you mean like a wine?
Yeah, wine. That's not, wino not, is not the word for
a
that.
Drunk? Okay, yeah. But every like wine enthusiast I've told about this since has been on my side.
Sure.
Like, yeah, regardless also, of whether or not I was right.
He was being a dick.
That's what the other people said. And apparently restaurants don't lose any money. They all get... If any bottle of the send back, they will get a refund from their...
Really?
From the
I'm going to do it every time.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, now I know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you back Diet Cokes.
Too bubbly.
This is too sour. Send it back. I would like Chateau Neuf de Pape, please.
So you get... That's...
Every time.
Chateau Neuf de Pape, please.
Every time, that's what I replace it with. For dessert, sir...
Banoffee pie. It's my favourite food, I think.
I saw you eat
your favourite food.
Once. Yes, for dessert, sorry.
For dessert, yeah. Your favourite food.
If you're asking him what food banoffee you like pie. For dessert.
I'd accept that. If that was his favourite food in the world, I'd accept
it. I know you would.
I'd accept a dessert as your favourite food.
Yeah. I mean, I had that for the first time when I came to England when I was like 10, maybe.
Where was it? Take us there.
At the airport, as soon as you got off the plane.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, there's a guy.
Welcome to England.
There's a beef eater. Yeah. Welcome to England, sir.
Oh, little boy.
Started putting your chopsticks together. Yeah. No, you won't be needing those. This is a banoffee pie, young man. Don't chalk up those chopsticks.
I really hope Ben takes out the previous mention of the chopsticks.
Yeah. The great Benito getting his revenge. Yeah.
Banoffee pie.
Yes,
I think my uncle made it by like he just heated up a tin of condensed milk and that becomes banoffee sauce.
Yeah.
Toffee, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing because you got the salty and the sweet and yeah, it's great. James and I had for what would you call it here? Craft? Not that's American, isn't the craft?
Oh, the catering. On Taskmaster. So it's the people who did the food catering on that.
And they're famous there for the banoffee pie.
Yeah.
Everyone who's ever talked to the studio talks about the banoffee pie.
Yeah.
And for good reason. It was out of this world.
We were really looking forward to it all day. They told us it's the banoffee pie day. And we're obviously, me and Phil, I love desserts anyway, and Phil loves the banoffee pie.
Yeah.
So we were both just all day going, oh, I really want that banoffee pie. Do you want it?
And then it was the same day as egg gravy day, wasn't it, as well?
Egg gravy banoffee pie day.
But I couldn't eat too much because we had a recording to do straight after. So it was like this ultimate torture where I had my favourite dessert and I could only have like...
Well, I mean, James Acaster is a man who has never worried about that. I've seen you eat full three-course meals before Mark the Week.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you go on and you feel...
Oh, I don't feel great. No. I'm not saying I feel good, but like it's worth the trade. I'll have that. If it's a delicious dessert and it means I'll be like 20% less funny, fair enough. I'll be sitting there with banoffee pie thinking they'll take care of me in the edit. I'll be alright.
I shut down. I might as well not be there for eating too much because like my style on panel shows is not I don't scattergun really. I don't say that much. I just try to make what I do say count.
Yeah.
But if I'm out of it, those moments will just pass me by.
You just do a big burp rather than say what you were going to say.
Yeah. Mm. I just go, and then they move
round of applause, next topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes on really well, really. But I put down my terrible Would I Lie to You appearance to a bowl of fried rice from Wagamama's I had just before that I fucking wolfed.
Yeah.
I told myself I'll have one spoon and then my animal took over and I just dogged it down.
Yeah.
And I
chased it up with a bunch of narcotic leaves.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk, let alone lie to celebs.
Here's what I think about banoffee pie. I think the quality of a banoffee pie is so variable. The worst banoffee pie is so far away from the best banoffee pie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because you end up with people use squirty cream.
Well,
I mean, like whipped cream out of a can?
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it?
No.
What's wrong with that? It's awful. Whipped cream.
It's just like...
How else do you have whipped cream?
It's just like thick air.
Well, where else does whipped cream come from?
Are you whipping actual cream?
You're joking. I thought it needed the spray bit.
No, it doesn't need the spray. It doesn't need the aerosol.
What? But that's how
you are. You are pulling my dick off right now. What are you talking
whipped
about?
Whipped cream is in a bowl. They do it in a bowl. Whip it by hand. Beat it.
But that's just like...
Or they do it with the mixer.
Yeah.
Like that. But
that's not...
But they don't...
You've whipped some cream, but it's not whipped cream.
Huh? Yeah. That's literally what it is.
Did you
cream.
Say when you whip some cream, it's not whipped cream?
You whipped some cream, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's cream that has been whipped, but whipped cream comes out of a
no
aerosol.
No. Squirty cream. They call it whipped cream, but
it's not been whipped.
The chance in their luck there.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay.
So
I'll
where's
this.
The best banoffee pie? Is there? Are you getting it from the caterer at Taskmaster?
That is the best I've ever had, probably.
Okay.
It was the best.
That's
I've
allowed.
Ever had.
You can have it. This is a dream restaurant. I can get you the catering from Taskmaster, banoffee pie.
I've always thought that'd be like the ultimate like hipster food place. Is like a place of work that you have to somehow get into. Yeah. Well, like I thought, like a school, an actual school cafeteria that has a chef, but you have to somehow get a visitor's pass.
Yeah, or qualify as a dinner lady,
or a teacher, or somehow a student.
Yeah.
And you have to get in, and it's like, and like Vice gives it 6 stars, and you have to.
There's a cafe called the Pit Stop Cafe at my college, and it did a hot chocolate deluxe, and people wanted to get into our college to try those hot chocolate deluxes.
Really?
Yeah, they were so delicious. That had squirty cream on it.
Squirty cream,
but it was it was everything: marshmallows, chocolate powder, the squirty cream, a really quite thick, luxurious hot chocolate that did taste like a liquid dairy milk. Very rich. Oh, it was so good. We'd get them all the time. Me and my friend Graham. Go and get a hot chocolate deluxe.
And so people were like climbing over the fences to...
Yeah. People really wanted to go in and get... Like people who had left the college. It was people who had been to the college before, left the college and was like...
They were jonesing for
a
hot chocolate
deluxe. They're still doing... Because it was a music course we were doing, so we still knew a lot of bands outside of college who would go, "Oh, you're doing that BTEC course." They're still doing the hot chocolate deluxe in the pit stop. Oh, man. But then, real bad, because it had chocolate sauce on it as well, and all this stuff. And then one day, they just kind of like... All they did was the squirty cream and the chocolate powder, and that was it. And everything else went. The marshmallows went. The chocolate sauce went.
But they still called it a deluxe.
They still called it hot chocolate deluxe. And we were like... What is going on here? We were very, very upset.
This is from 2008. No. This is the crash.
No, it was the marshmallow crash.
Yeah, the sugar crash.
Yeah.
The great sugar crash.
Yeah, it was. It was like that.
Phil Wang. What a meal.
What a meal, what a man.
What a meal, what a meal, what a meal. What a magnified meal.
Should we run through what Phil's ordered?
Yes. Phil, let me just get your order straight.
Yeah, can you read that back
to me? You would like some sparkling water, some poppadoms, some salmon roe on a drug leaf, some wat tan ho.
Lovely.
Some clear Chinese broth to go with that. You would like some wine. You went for the Riesling in the end.
Yeah, on my friend's recommendation.
And you would like some banoffee pie from the Taskmaster catering team.
Please. Yes. Thank you, Jeannie.
No, your wish is my command.
When do you get freed? When like someone compliments the chef?
Oh, that's at the minute. None of the guests have chosen to free me.
That could have been your starter.
Like basically, you have to not have a meal. You have to literally have no food or no drink or anything. You can choose to free me instead. Yeah.
But that's when the podcast ends.
We're looking
to get maybe 20 eps under the belt before the genie gets free. Phil, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for dinner.
No worries, man.
Delicious.
No, come back soon.
Bye. Bye. Bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, clop, clop, clop.
Ah, oh, Phil's been run over.
Oh, no. Another one dead. At least he had his perfect meal.
Oh, he spread egg gravy all over the motorway.
All right, guys. It just missed me.
Phil's okay.
Yeah. Bye, Phil. Oh,
thanks again for dinner.
See you, Phil. See you later.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Thank God Phil was all right.
Oh, we were touch and go for a second there. I didn't know if he was going to survive. But I'm very, very good of him to come back and let us know he survived when the tram hit him.
I don't know what that tram did hit, but whatever it was, it didn't survive.
I hope it didn't hit our guest for next week.
Oh, fingers crossed.
That'd be awful, wouldn't it?
No cardamom pods.
Well done, Phil. You dodged it, you swerved it. I mean, if we'd said egg gravy, we would have had him.
Yeah. Maybe the ingredient next week should be egg gravy.
It is.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, the secret ingredient in next week's episode is egg gravy. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. Do tune in again next week. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah, people should do it. Subscribe to the podcast.
Review it on iTunes. Review it if it's good.
Oh, no.
I mean, give it five stars. It helps people listen to it. Review it. Give it five stars. Subscribe to it on iTunes or whatever app that you use.
Yeah.
Listen to it on the train.
If you laugh out loud on the train, make sure you say the name of the podcast afterwards when you laugh.
Exactly.
Off-menu podcast afterwards.
Yeah. Off-menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster.
Yeah, and then carry on listening. Perfect. Laughing.
But do all of that. Keep listening to it. We'll keep doing it anyway. But just crack along with it. Spread the word and spread the butter
on the bread.
I'm on tour, so feel free to come and see me on tour at edgamble.co.uk/gigs. Feel free to bring me any foods that you think we should discuss here on the off-menu podcast.
Great idea.
But as long as it's not cardamom pods, egg gravy, pomegranate seeds, coriander, or fennel.
Ooh, that would be the worst feast.
And unless you somehow combine all of those into a muffin, bring it in, and then I'll make James Acaster eat it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
if you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.